This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Friday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 377, down 1. July corn, 384 and 3 quarters, down 1. September corn, 392 and a half, down 1. May soybeans, 951 and a half, down 2. July soybeans, 956, down 2 and a quarter. August soybeans, 955, down 2 and a quarter. May wheat, 526 and a half, up 7 and 3 quarters. July wheat, 524, up 6.5. September wheat, 532.5, up 7. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois Kindergrain prices ended mixed on Friday afternoon, with corn and soybeans lower and wheat ending higher. In northern and western Illinois, country grain deals quoted shell corn bids steady to a penny lower at $3.50 to $3.72. Soybean bids were 2 cents lower at $9.18 to $9.35. In central Illinois, country grain deals quoted shell corn bids down a penny at $3.47 to $3.73. Soybean bids 2 cents lower, ranging from $9.31 to $9.51. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady to a penny lower at $3.63 to $3.80. Soybean bids down 2 cents at $9.32 to $9.57. And the wheat bids were 5 to 8 cents higher at $4.35 to $4.94. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 2 cents lower at $9.64 to $9.72. Basis steady, range from 12 to 20 over the May. Hypro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $3.14.20 to $3.37.20 per ton. That's down $2.90, with basis steady at 5 to 28 over the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids down a penny at $3.74 to $3.91, with basis steady, range from 3 under to 14 over the May. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 1 to 2 lower at $3.73 to $3.75, with basis steady to 1 cent lower at 4 under to 2 under the May. Soybeans ended steady to down 2 at $9.49 to $9.57, with basis steady to 2 cents higher at 3 under to 5 over the May. And new crop wheat prices ended 5 to 7 higher at $5.06 to $5.12, with basis steady to 2 cents lower at 18 under to 12 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bid steady to a penny lower at $3.93 to $3.94. These same elevators lowered their soybean prices by a penny, with quotations at $9.75 to $9.76, soft wheat up 8 at $5.27 to $5.34, and Milo ended steady to a penny lower at $4.42 to $4.43. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from $3.61 up to $3.73. New crop soybean bids at $8.86 to $9.16. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from $3.58 to $3.73. New crop soybean bids range from $9.04 up to $9.22. And in the southern part of the state on Friday, new crop corn bids range from $3.62 to $3.76. New crop soybean bids range from $8.90 up to $9.16. And wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those range from $4.85 up to $5.12. That completes our country grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Friday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, $158.80, down $3. June live cattle, $148.80, down $2.77. August live cattle, $146.55, down $2.12. April feeder cattle, $212.45, down $4.02. May feeder cattle, $209.72, down $3.97. August feeder cattle, $211.45, down $3.57. April lean hogs, $62.55, up 45 cents. May lean hogs, $71.77, up $1.27. June lean hogs, $78.15, up $1.35. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday the 10th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded $2.06 higher in the range of $52 to $61.95, with a weighted average carcass price of $60.10. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $1 to $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at $27 to $30, 4 to 5 weights $36 to $34, 5 to 6 weights $33 to $36, and 6 weights and up $35 to $38. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading a dollar higher, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $37 to $40. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 15,828 head. And now for the report from the Walnut Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 294 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 160-150 to 167-75. Holstein steers choice were 144 to 151.50, and choice slaughter heifers were 159.50 to 166.25. On to the slaughter cows, premiums were 150 to 154, breakers 103 to 105 with some high dressing at 125, boners were 104 to 109, and leans were 82 to 86 with some high dressing at 97. Now moving on to a special feeder cattle sale at Carthage, Illinois. They had receipts of 930 head, starting with the feeder steers, medium and large ones. Four weights were 289 to 324.50. Five weights were 260 to 298. Six weights were 240 to 281. Feeder heifers, medium and large ones. Four weights were 250 to 278. 5 weights 217 to 260, and 6 weights were 209 to 230. Feeder bulls, medium and large ones, 4 weights were 195 to 301, and 5 weights were 262 to 271. Now in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis were 162 to 165. And on a dress basis, 260 to 267. Heifers on a live basis traded at 165 to 166. And on a dress basis, 262 to 267. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 253 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, $65.87, and that was 27 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses, $256.51, that was $2.54 lower, with select carcasses at $249.91, that was $1.88 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 90,000. That compared to 97,000 last week and 103,000 a year ago. On a year-to-date basis, cattle slaughter is running behind 7.6%. Hog slaughter was estimated at 407,000. That compared to 406,000 last week and 366,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter is running ahead on a year-to-date basis by 4.8%. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this. Thanks for tuning in to this Saturday's Horse Show. This Saturday, I spoke with local horseman Chick Bishop about the development of the quarter horse breed. Many people remember great horses, but not as many are able to recall the people who made them great. Bishop says there are three men who should never be forgotten when discussing quarter horses. They are Hank Weiskamp, Walter Merrick, and Dale Robertson. Each of these men had a knack for horses. Bishop says Weiskamp's talent was in breeding all types of quality horses.
Hank Weiskamp is the man from Mount Montrose, Colorado, and I learned something about him early. He had world champions that were quarter horses, that were paint horses, buckskins, you name it, he had them. World champions. And maybe he had 200 mares, but he had 50 mares back in a pasture away from where his ranch was. He wouldn't let anybody see those mares. Well, they were called blue hens. They would always outproduce themselves, no matter what. You could breed them to a billy goat and they'd have a world champion quarter horse, it seemed like. But he didn't let you see those mares because they weren't all halter quality mares.
Those mares were the foundation of Wisecamp's breeding program, which emphasized a sturdy foundation.
But he said to me something that my dad had always told me. He says, if you're going to breed horses, they got to have bone. They got to have good legs and good feet. Well, all the impressive breeding that came along at that time had very small feet and legs and double-aught shoes, very small shoes. And those horses wouldn't hold up. Their legs wouldn't hold up because their bodies, they might weigh 1,400 pounds. And you couldn't do anything with them but show them at halter because they would not hold up. Well, Hank Wisecamp, one day I was talking to him, and Skipper W was the horse that made him the Skipper W breeding, the Wisecamp breeding. He developed his own breed of quarter horses, really. But from that, as I say, he knew what a good horse ought to be because they used them on the ranch and they sold them for ranch work. And we're talking 50, 60, 70 years ago. It was different then. It was a different world. And I said, Hank, did you ever think what your life would have been like if you had not had Skipper W, your herd stallion? He said, didn't worry about it, because I had two or three more ready to go that would have done the same thing Skipper W did, might have done more. He said, the power is in the mare. I never forgot that.
That philosophy did indeed enable Wisecamp to turn out one quality horse after another.
But Hank Wisecamp, as I say, he had world champions in everything that you could imagine because he knew how to produce that eye appeal. And he liked color. He liked Palominos. And anybody that remembers Hank or remembers Skipper W breeding knew that those mares were brood mares. Skipper W was a brood mare sire. And it was interesting that I think one of the first, if not the first, horses to come off his ranch to mid-Illinois came up here to Windsor.
Bishop says two of the most important horses in the quarter horse breed graced Illinois with their presence, Peter McHugh and Steel Dust.
And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you the horse that's in at least three-fourths of the papers in the quarter horse breed is Peter McHugh. He was raised right up here at the Petersburg. A rancher would spend the summer, tie a mare behind a spring wagon and come to Petersburg to breed to Peter McHugh. Those people are crazy down there about their running horses. But the horse that started, identified as the beginning of the quarter horse breed, is Steel Dust. And Steel Dust, I always thought was a steel gray maybe. No, he was a bay. He was owned by two gentlemen over here on the Jersey-Madison County line at Kane, Illinois. And they moved to south of Dallas, and Steel Dust had that prepotency. He was a short couple, 14-2, maybe a 1,200-pound horse, heavily muscled. beautiful head, big jaws, short ears. And they talked about the steel dust horses. You could tell that they were out of steel dust, as you could tell a horse out of Peter McHugh. Well, he is the basis for the modern quarter horse, that from when they formed the Quarter Horse Association. So here from Illinois, now I'm getting into the book that I'm writing about Illinoisans that went west and became famous. Here are the two most famous horses in the quarter horse breed that came from Illinois.
According to Bishop, Hank Weiskamp always said he liked a pretty horse, but they had to have speed and they had to have a good mind. The desire for a fast horse was something he shared with another man who was influential to the quarter horse breed, Walter Merrick.
Walter Merrick, great big guy. He was 6'4", weighed about 200 pounds in his youth. He was just a cowboy. But he always had this dream, speed horses, and he would develop running the speed out of horses that didn't know they could be fast, you know. He's the guy that caused the quarter horse breed to allow thoroughbreds into their registry. He found three bars and bred mares to three bars and got speed like you can't imagine. And it made Walter Merrick, the book, if you haven't read the book Wire to Wire, it's the life story of Walter Merrick. And of course, I have from the Quarter Horse of the Western book store, the Hank Weiskamp story too, because they were both heroes of mine. But Walter Merrick, I've got videos of him sitting there telling stories that are in this book, by the way. We sat for a couple of hours and just visited. And he knew how to breed for speed. And the running quarter horse was just really coming on. I'm talking about for racetracks now.
Walter Merrick's introduction of thoroughbred blood to the quarter horse breed led to vast improvements in quarter horse racing.
Well, it's made quarter horse racing. They started out, the fastest time you could get was AAA. They had A, AA, AAA. AAA was, now they have AAA plus, 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 plus. Those horses, while thoroughbreds, you look at the history of the Kentucky Derby, the record probably has improved 2 seconds at the Kentucky Derby. Now, when it comes to running 300 yards, 400 yards, the short dashes, those times have improved even more, several seconds more. That's how far the running quarter horses come with the introduction of thoroughbred breeding.
When it came to selling fast horses, Walter Merrick teamed up with a couple other quarter horse owners to create the Haymaker Sale. One of the owners of Haymaker Ranch, Dale Robertson, was another man who valued speed above all else in his breeding programs, but he was much more than a horse breeder.
Dale Robertson, when he died, they kept talking at his funeral about him with the cowboy, and he was in a lot of movies and was in a lot of the weekly programs, that, like, he was on Death Valley Days for a while, but he was on several other as the lead man. And Dean Smith was his second. Dean Smith is a cowboy. Dale never wanted to be known as a cowboy. He wanted to be known as a horseman. And he could ride a horse prettier than anybody you ever saw except my dad.
Not only did he do well astride a horse, Robertson had a knack for pedigree breeding.
And Dale Robertson, by the way, was the first person to win $1 million with running quarter horses. First person to have a stallion that brought $1 million. So he knew a little bit about what he was doing, I'll tell you. And I sat with Dale we'd always go to the quarter horse sale down in Oklahoma City at the World Show. Dale Robertson knew more about the pedigrees of quarter horses than anybody I ever knew. And A lot of people would hire him to sit there and tell him what horse was, and never the most beautiful horse, and never the horses that bringing the high dollar. He was always looking at pedigree, never looked at the horses till he had picked 10 or so of the pedigrees he wanted to look at, and then he'd go see them.
But one of Roberson's most amazing accomplishments with horses didn't involve the quarter horse breed at all.
World War II, and I was sitting there the night that he talked to Joe Bowman. Joe Bowman was Dale's age. He still had 83 pieces of shrapnel in him from being shot up in Africa. Dale was in a tank at 19, same age, was blown out of a tank and had his hip hurt badly. They were both back in the United States convalescing and then both sent to Italy. Now, in Italy, they saw a lot of battles there too, same age, everything. And Joe Bowman was sitting, I'll never forget it. He said to Dale Roberson, Dale, we were always told over in Italy that those Lipizer horses, those jumping horses, that the Russians got them and that they were eating them. They were going to be gone. And that you picked three other Oklahoma cowboys, went behind the Russian lines, and came out with 12 of those horses. Not General Patton, as the movie shows in Patton, and that he did not do that, that you did that with three cowboys from Oklahoma that you'd handpicked. Dale named the horses. Yeah, we brought them out. But he said about half of them were Great Arabians. And he named, boy, he named the horses. And if you bought at the Haymaker Farm and gave $100,000 for a horse, he had a belt buckle that he gave you with the three horses on.
So there we have it. Three men who, according to Chick Bishop, made contributions in the areas of speed, disposition, conformation, and even color to make the quarter horse breed what it is today. Who also gave so much more to the horse world in general, and, by all rights, should never be forgotten. Hank Weiskamp, Walter Merrick, and Dale Roberson. That's all for this Saturday's Horse Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.